Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. It says your messenger, Pastor Armstrong, from the Now Sabbath Gathering. Today we will have a conversation regarding depression, regarding the holidays, and as we go down this path today, say the discussion, and we will look at it from different perspectives, and we look at it from a biblical perspective, as well as from the, hate to use the term, world perspective, because some of what we get comes from the divine in terms of revelation knowledge as to what depression is and how we address it or how we deal with it. Let us pray. Almighty everlasting creator, we invoke your presence today as people who are listening to this ministry, to this discussion, this biblical-based discussion, this spiritual discussion of depression and holiday. We just ask you to let your Holy Spirit through us so that the hearer may find some joy, may find peace in that quiet time in the midst of all of this trials and tribulation that's going on now. In Jesus' name, amen. One thing that we're going to start out, depression and the holiday, or holidays. And I found this out, this statement by Davis, and he stated that it's not abnormal to feel depressed at times. About what depression is less a critical thing and more a normal thing. Now, I want us to just stop there and put it in some perspective in terms of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, for those of us who profess to be followers of the teaching of Jesus, and whatever your holy person is, a being is, not talking about a human, let's just take a look at how they would handle this, how they handle stress or depression, and see if it should be a more of a normal thing. And maybe whenever we look at it as abnormal, that's whenever it gets blown out of proportion. And whenever that happens, it began to have a negative impact upon us because we have spoke it. We have spoke negative about it. And when we look at the Creator, who sent his son. Now let's clarify that. The word says that, but also human says that. But whenever you look at it, you may be like I was conflicted. If he was God, then why did the Spirit descend into him? And why did God call him his beloved son and said in whom he's well pleased? Now, the key word here is Spirit descended into him. And Jesus referred to the Father, God the Father, not that they, he was one. He was the Father. Now, whenever we begin to really look at things from that perspective, the Spirit descended into him. That's one of the things that we can conclude. And you have to come to your own conclusion. And you have to allow the Holy Spirit to lead you and guide you. And to me, that is why depression was not abnormal for him. But think about all his trials and tribulations, everything that they heaped on him. He maintained. He maintained. But yet, when we have to deal with trials and tribulations, and we will get into that down a little further, we allow those trials and tribulations to knock us for a loop, as we say, cause us to despair, cause us to respond in a way that is not healthy for us. And then it goes on about what depression is less a clinical thing and more of a normal thing. I'm just repeating that. And that is not to say that everyone experiences the same level of depression, but everyone experiences some level of depression. And he was just saying that whenever we realize that it's there, when you begin to focus on it, or you allow it to focus on you, that's whenever you begin to have issues and you begin, it began to take control of power against you. And as he goes on and says, for the most part, depression is somewhat normal because we all live somewhere between Genesis 3 and Revelation 20, since we are all our fallen human beings living in fallen bodies. Present of sorrow means that things are probably pretty normal. It just means that you are alive. I read that. And when I read it, at first, it didn't make a whole lot of sense. But when you read it again, and all he said that we are imperfect beings, we live in an imperfect world, and because of that, that's normal. And it just, God put physical body that is not eternal. That's going to decay. So when we keep looking at depression and discouragement, it's not the holiday. It could be any holiday. It could be any situation. It could be any circumstance. But yet, we wind up during this holiday season allowing that situation to cause us to become discouraged, become depressed. And if we, the normal sorrow of life can reach a high point this time of year. It can reach a high point. But what do we mean by that? We mean that because you got all these pressures on you, you got pressure to visit a parent, a visit friend, a visit, and you got, you can need to carry a present. And a lot of times, a lot of people don't have it. But yet, they wind up going in a way and doing things that they would normally do. You see, in a time where the pressure is to purchase, create what? Emotional pressure? Or it could be at a time when there's emotional pressure of getting together with family, getting together with friends. And sometimes you get together with family you don't really want to be bothered with, but you get together anyway. Now, let's get down to look at this. There's three things that I want you to think about. It may be a reminder that we're without a loved one. For elderly people, whenever they sit and they think about what they've done in the past and how they've done it and who they've done it with, and they realize that change has taken place, that that person or persons that they did it with is no longer here. So what does that do? Or that person cannot be there, cannot go, cannot do. That gets to be traumatic whenever you have to go through that, because you have to sit yourself. And sometimes you just have to look at self in the mirror and speak to self, the end of the world. Now, you're only able to do that provided you have a spiritual foundation. And you get a spiritual foundation from the Word. What did the Word say? What part of the Word has been written in your heart? I want you to give that some thought. My mama, she's dealing with loss. She's saying that I want to go home, be with my family for Christmas. And the ones of us who's sitting there looking at this, and they are 7 or 8 hours, maybe 10 hours apart, and she's 97. And the reality is, she probably is sitting there thinking about it in terms that might be the last. I'm just saying, now I'm not saying that's what she's doing. I'm saying she's probably sitting there thinking about that this may be the last time I get to celebrate Christmas with them. And what does that mean for her? What does that mean for you? And see, if she look at it that way, none of us might not be here next year. I mean, but what prevents us from taking the same position or processing the holidays the same way? And it has a different impact on us than it would on her. 97 years old. Whenever you sit and you look and you think about the end, if you have not prepared yourself for the end, what happens is it becomes frightens you. It becomes a situation where you are fearful of it when it comes. And the flip side of that is maybe she just wants to see them for one last time. And just to be in fellowship with them. And the thing is, you get to be irrational. Hear me. Listen to me. and I'm not imposing my views on her. But what I'm saying is, and we're going to talk about me in a minute. What I'm saying is simple as this. This time, the flu is running rapid all over the East Coast. Flu is running rapid. And you're 97 years old, and you're going to be there out there with all these other people, and you just come out of a pandemic, and you wore a mask, and your body is not prepared to fight off the flu that's come through, along with other viruses that's out there. And whenever that begins to happen, you have to not allow that emotional side of you outweigh your ability to process your reality. Whenever you look at it and you realize that, I know for me now, let's talk about me. Normally, we would have been going from one family side, one side of the family, or the other side to visit. And whenever you sit down, and that hit me because I was driving someplace, and the reality was I looked at all those cars, and I said, we would be going possibly to Alabama. We have friends down that way. So years ago, that's where we would go. We either go there for Christmas and go to my parents' Thanksgiving or my grandparents. And the thing was, that's not possible. That is what we call a loss. And you have a tendency to start grieving the loss. Your mind began to play games and began you can't do that anymore. It's not possible. Come to reality. That's going to stress you. That's going to produce depression, because it was something that your mind was looking forward to you doing. And that was certain triggers. What triggered it? What triggered mine was the traffic. And how for years, for 50 years, we went through this. And now there is no more. One, the people are no longer there. People move. People are taking dirt now. So there's nothing to go there to. Whenever you begin to sit with that and come to that understanding, that's whenever your reality becomes real. And it's like we used to do community forums. We'll put a Coke can on the table, and we were discussing the impact that violence had on children. Can was to keep it real. That look at that Coke can, you realize, Coca-Cola, you realize that you have to keep it real, because it's not a pie in the sky. It's not something theoretical. You have to talk about it in reality terms. That's loss. You grieve a loss. And if you don't come to grips with the grief, with the loss, you're going to continue to grieve. And see, the trigger was, this was the holiday and the traffic. and your mind stopped playing a few games. And remember when we had a motorhome, and one Christmas we were gone, and traffic was all backed up, all backed up. And the traffic was going slow. That was when I was truck, I had CB radio. And he said, it was so foggy you couldn't see. He said, look, cut off your lights. And I'm sitting up there, we're in a 24-foot motorhome, Class A motorhome. And he tells me to cut off my lights. And he said, you can see better. He had his lights off and he was flying. And I reluctantly turned my lights off. And I could see with the lights off. And we came on down Interstate 95. And the thing is, I had to put my faith in what the truck driver said. Now, if I could put my faith in what he said, I should be able to put my faith in the Word of God, the one who created me, the one who Psalms 139 that says he knitted me together when I was in my mother's womb, the one that Genesis 3 said that he breathe the breath of life into us. And the one that the Son made it clear that he came that we may have life and have it more abundantly. And once I began to process my situation, circumstances along those lines, then I began to feel better about the whole thing. But another flip side of the loss, when I look back at it also, I look at the number of people that's still alive that I grew up with. You can count all of them on my hand. Especially the males, they're gone. They're taking their dirt nap. And whenever you sit there, and sometimes you want to have a pity party, and you may ask yourself, why am I here? And what is your foundation? If I didn't have a spiritual foundation based on the Word of God, I would be really depressed. Really depressed. Because whenever I look at it right now, of these young people that I grew up with, childhood, there's two that I don't know where they are. Rest of them are dead, taking their dirt nap. Oh, that's three. One of them, I know where he is. He's in a VA nursing home. And here, I'm able to move around. I'm able to drive, able to process things in a logical and rational manner. So, then been out of shape and want to hold myself accountable for something that I don't know why, I don't understand. I've learned to lean not on my understanding, but on the Word that comes out of the breath of God. And God hasn't said why I deserve to be here. But I look at it in terms of he's the one that has control over how long I'm going to be here. And I just, that's how I process it. That's how I process the stress other people this season is financial stress. I don't buy into this whole rat race this time of year of having to go and buy gifts and do this and do the other. I just want to think about it. Call from a friend of ours who I called early to check on them and see how they were doing. You might have heard my response to it. But that's because to check on them because of their situation, circumstance that they're dealing with, especially the husband, and let them know that people still think about them during this time. And now time that we have set aside for people who call in that we can have a discussion with them. And since no one has called in and you have an opportunity also to send an email, talkingdrums12@gmail.com. And as a result of that, we can answer or reply to your email that at our next gathering, or if you prefer a written response. Who has sent a written response? And now we sort of set the stage for the next week. What are we going to talk about? Our souls are how we are in search of the Word, in search of God during these times of trials and tribulation. And in so doing, we are able to find our peace and find joy that the world can't bring, that we can't go out and buy a present to satisfy. We can't go visit somebody except ourselves, except our present situation for what it is. So until next week, we look forward to you being part of the discussion. And just remember, your loss you're dealing with, or that you're grieving, or that is causing your depression, it's not permanent. And on next week, if you just think about it as being normal, but then that way when you think about depression as being part of the norm, that means you don't allow it to define you That means you don't allow it to cause you fearful of whatever that situation or circumstance that you are looking at. Until next week, shalom.